Friends, before we turn to our gospel reading, I confess that I'm still shaking the rust off, and I forgot to ask you to sign the friendship register. So if you could, please sign the friendship register. Let us know that you're here, and we are so glad that you are. Our gospel text this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Continue to listen now for God's word. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Friends, this, along with our text from Colossians, is the word of God for you who are the people of God. Thanks be to God. Christianity has not so much been tried and found wanting as it has been found difficult and left untried. G.K. Chesterton. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. C.S. Lewis. These three prolific writers point to the level of challenge that is inherent to the Christian faith. Their sentiments echo the words of Jesus when he famously says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Christian theology has long upheld the notion of living a cruciform life, or a life that is shaped by the cross. It's one that emphasizes self-sacrifice and self-emptying and humility. It's seeking the good of others before the good of ourselves. We see this in another epistle in Philippians when Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself. Taking the form of a slave, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." One does not have to spend much time reading the Gospels to realize the truth of the idea that following Jesus is often difficult, that it requires sacrifice. And even if we just stick with today's Gospel, Matthew, we find page after page of ethical directives from Jesus, commandments that insist our lives be lived in dedicated service to the least of these, those who are hungry or sick or in prison. And Jesus is clear with his disciples that the choice to follow him does not lead to a life that is easy, nor one that is free from troubles. "Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you," he says, "when they utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." As Bonhoeffer rightly observes, there is a cost to our discipleship to Jesus. When all is said and done, Bonhoeffer writes, "the life of faith is nothing if not an unending struggle of the spirit with every available weapon against the flesh." It's not exactly a glowing endorsement for Christianity, but perhaps an honest one. Because indeed, it seems it would be much less costly for us to live self-interested lives, to follow our own way. We would save time, money, emotional energy if we were to look out solely for ourselves. And yet this is most certainly not the life to which Christ invites us when he says, "Come, follow me." So how then can the author of 1 Peter write, "For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome"? And how then do we understand today's gospel text? Because the same Jesus who commands his disciples to take up their crosses now says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." We often hear those words in funerals because they bring such a powerful sense of comfort and peace. I myself has long turned to those verses when I'm feeling particularly weary or burdened, because to utter them brings this near instant sense of exhale, the sense that Christ will draw near and will uphold and sustain us. So even more perplexing then are the following two verses, where Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Easy? My yoke is easy? It seems like Matthew spends the rest of his gospel outlining in great detail just how hard it can be to follow Jesus. Now, because we are not Jesus' original audience living in an agrarian society, it is worth pausing here to talk about yokes. A yoke is a wooden bar that's fastened over the necks of two animals and connected to the often very heavy load that they are pulling. So Jesus' audience would have been familiar with that image, but they would have also known that in the Old Testament, the term yoke is used as a metaphor to represent hardship or servitude, submission. So, for example, in Leviticus, God refers to freeing the Israelites from slavery by saying, "I have broken the bars of your yoke." Or the prophet Jeremiah, you may remember that he wears a yoke to symbolize his message that Judah should submit to the nation of Babylon. To early Jewish listeners, the word yoke could also have connotations of obedience to the Torah or the pursuit of wisdom. In the apocryphal book of Sirach, we find a personification of wisdom that says, "Put your neck under her yoke and let your souls receive instruction." And this is perhaps the most helpful way to understand Jesus' use of the term yoke. He's not describing discipleship to him as subjugation or servitude in a negative sense, but rather he's identifying himself as the source of wisdom and of direction for our lives. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," he says. The Message paraphrase of scripture, which we used in our call to worship today, interprets Jesus as saying, "Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it." So to take on the yoke of Jesus is to learn from him how to live in service of the kingdom of God. So now that we have a sense of what Jesus might be saying when he invites the disciples to take his yoke upon themselves, the next question, of course, becomes, why would he go on to describe his yoke as easy? As previously mentioned, following him can sound anything but easy. So one common interpretation is to say that Jesus is trying to distance himself from the strict observance of the law that's typical of the Pharisees, as if he's pointing to the yoke of Torah observance as being overly burdensome compared to his way of life. But this is an overly simplistic explanation and not a satisfactory one for a couple of reasons. Namely, Jesus himself says that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And in many cases, Jesus actually makes the laws of the Torah even more stringent, not less. So, for example, he says to his followers, "You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile." So far from inviting disciples to a life of ease, or one that's free from adherence to the law, Jesus is calling us, to a life that honors God's hopes and dreams for humanity with conviction and with dedication. Now, once I had gotten myself good and riled up about Jesus describing his yoke as easy, citing all the examples that I could think of where he issues commands that are quite simply hard, I decided to take a look at the Greek word that's being translated as easy. The word is krestos, and this is the only place it's used in the Gospel of Matthew. It appears 6 other times in the entirety of the New Testament, and here in Matthew 11 is the only instance where it's translated as easy. So the other 6, it's good or kind. As in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind, be krestos to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Could it be that the yoke or the way of Jesus is one that is good for us, one that is primarily kind to us and to the world? Not good or kind in the shallow sense of being easy or without challenge, but deep, soul-level, lasting goodness. Discipleship to Jesus is not easy in the typical sense of the word, but it is deeply kind and good. Dallas Willard wrote a book called The Spirit of the Disciplines, Understanding How God Changes Lives. And in the introduction, he explores what he calls the secret of the easy yoke from Matthew 11. I'm going to paraphrase a bit here, but he essentially says, the secret of the easy yoke is simple, actually. It is the intelligent, informed, unyielding resolve to live as Jesus lived in all aspects of his life. Disciplines in which Jesus immersed himself, such as solitude, silence, fasting, prayer, service, and celebration, these can make the experience of the easy yoke a reality in our lives. Friends, the way of Jesus may not be easy, but it is good. The yoke is a powerful metaphor because while a yoke can be used on an individual's shoulders to carry heavy things like 2 buckets of water, it's most often placed on the shoulders of 2 animals. So they walk together, side by side, distributing the weight of the burden they carry so that neither animal carries it alone. As we have mentioned, the call to live as Jesus lived is a weighty one. It requires and demands much of us. But we don't struggle under the weight of expectation with fear or trembling because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the giver of all grace, walks beside us, sharing the load, saying, "Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." We willingly yoke ourselves to so many things that won't love us back, things that are not in service of what is kind or what is good. Things like power and money and social status. And yes, Jesus bids us to take up our crosses and follow him into a life that will demand something of us. But even as he is our guide, he is also our faithful travel companion, shouldering the load alongside us. Rather than a harsh taskmaster, he is a gentle teacher, who not only shows us how to live, but how to find real and lasting rest in a world that is insistent that our salvation is found in hurry and hustle. As one commentator writes, rest is not offered to the strongest and the most powerful. Rest is offered to those who have been made weary by a world that fails to comprehend the burden of injustice, The yoke is made easy by the heavenly powers coming to the aid of those whose ways this world fails to understand. So come, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, come find rest for your souls. Take the good and kind yoke of Christ upon your shoulders and learn from him. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. Well, friends, it is very like Jesus to take something and turn it upside down. In our text for today, he takes this image of a yoke, which at first glance sounds kind of like a negative thing, like it's burdensome in itself, and he flips it upside down so that we're able to see it as a way in which Jesus is carrying our burdens with us, giving us direction, giving us guidance, showing us the way. So may we go and may we learn and watch and work with him as we seek to build God's kingdom here on earth. Friends, as you go out, may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds on this day and in all the days to come. Amen. Go in peace.